On ABC Local Radio, you're with Rod Quinn. It's time now to talk health and fitness with Professor Gordon Lynch from the Physiology Department of the University of Melbourne. He is head of the Physiology Department. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, Rod.
This morning we're talking about a really important part of the body that quite often does not get the attention that other internal organs do, and yet life is impossible without the lungs.
Yeah, and we haven't really touched on the lungs in all of our time together. We've talked about asthma and certain conditions, but talking just about lung function and exercise is one which we haven't touched on, and it's timely because there's been some recent research just come out about the importance of fitness and lung function, which I thought was important to raise with our listeners.
It's also a way of telling very early on how your health is, if maybe you're getting older and maybe starting to decline, that suddenly you're finding that it's a little bit harder to breathe after even the most minor bit of exertion, like climbing a flight of stairs or maybe just walking somewhere else. Suddenly you think, oh, I'm just finding it a little bit harder to get my breath. And that happens as you get older. Is that a problem with your lungs, or is that a problem with, you know, other parts of your body?
Well, it could be, you know, primarily the lungs. I think most people become breathless if they do a strenuous thing. So, you know, climbing a couple of flights of stairs, even very fit people will start to increase their breathing rate and so on. But breathlessness, or feeling that you need to get more oxygen into there, certainly as we get older, that certainly the lungs, sort of the capacity starts to wear, the diaphragm and other breathing muscles weaken. People that have heart conditions, or if they're overweight or obese, their breathing becomes laboured. So that this concept of lung function and preserving lung function, it's how we mentioned it at the start, was we take it for granted. And it's only when we start to become breathless that we start saying, oh, gee, my breathing, I'm conscious of my breathing. And if you're struggling to do a particular task, and it could be, you know, for a range of things, it could be because of a health condition, you know, lung condition, or it could be some other aspect of your ill health, then you start to think, oh, gee, my breathing is very important. So I think it's important we need to talk about breathing, the muscles of breathing, the lungs themselves, and where fitness fits in, and there are things about lung function which are important too, which we should be able to know pretty clearly from our doctor.
But what I'm asking, I suppose, is if you're finding it more difficult to get your breath, maybe after a bit of exertion, that's not necessarily because there's something wrong with your lungs, it's just a general lack of fitness.
If you're not fit and you climb those couple of flights of stairs, you're going to be heaving a lot more than someone who's got a higher level of fitness. And that's really the message of today, is that even, you know, when you're fitter, you're going to require less oxygen to do the task because they're performing at a more efficient level. You know, when we talk about fitness and aerobic fitness, it's the efficiency at which we can move oxygen to our working muscles where it's needed. And that's important because the capacity to go through daily tasks and so on, even, you know, climbing a flight of stairs, we shouldn't be out of breath after doing that task. If it is, it's an indication that primarily it could be because our fitness needs a bit of work, and we can certainly do that, or it could be that there's something not quite right with lung function and we need to get that tested.
Okay, so let's start with lung function and how that is tested. Is it something you start with your doctor, or how do you find out just how well your lungs are working?
Yeah, I think doctors are sort of the best call here, and I think it's, if we have breathing issues or we're concerned about our breathing, then we should get our lung function tested. So lung function is going to tell us how well we're breathing, how much air we're able to breathe in and out of our lungs, and, you know, sort of how well we're going to be able to deliver that oxygen to the working muscles. So these lung function tests, it comes under the heading of what's called spirometry. And there are a couple of tests which are important, and that's because this particular study that I'll mention later described these in particular. And the first one is the forced expiratory volume, or the FEV, and it's how much air you can exhale during a forced breath. So it tells us, you know, in terms of how much air can quickly push out in that 1 second. And the other test that is important for lung function is what's called forced vital capacity, or FVC, and it's the total amount of air we can expel during this particular test. So it's like, you know, when you're being breathalyzed, if you're pulled over by the police and you have to breathe into that tube and you have to maintain that breath for a particular period to get the recording, this is much more, you know, you don't need to really force it out. So a big inhalation and then a very sustained exhalation to get as much air out as possible. And you can do particular readings in terms of liters of air or milliliters of air that's coming out, and that can tell us how well our lungs are functioning. And they're important tests. They can be done, you know, in terms of getting your GP. They can make you either do it there, or they can refer you to someone else who can do those particular tests. So if you've got lung diseases or lung conditions, then you're going to be tested routinely to determine how well your lungs are performing at any one time. So the degree of the condition, or whether it's being improved by medications or other activities that you might be performing. So lung function tests are very important, and they can tell us a lot about how well our lungs are working.
But are you going to realise that there's something wrong with your lungs before you go to the doctor, beyond just being out of breath, which, as we've talked about, may not necessarily mean that there's something wrong with your lungs?
No, that's right, and so that's why going to your GP first and foremost. If you're experiencing breathing issues, I think it's the first port of call is always to get that checked by your GP. And if it's something that's detected as, yes, definitely it's a lung issue, then you can be referred to a respiratory specialist who's going to be, you know, targeting those particular interventions for whether it's, you know, chronic bronchitis or emphysema or asthmatic conditions and so on. So it's the first protocol is always making sure that your doctor's aware of what's going on.
Now, one of the reasons that you're talking about it this morning is because of a new report from the American Thoracic Society International Conference, and they looked at fitness matters when it comes to lung health. What did they find?
Well, they have been tracking a number of people, over 5,000 people. It's from a study from the US, and so they've got healthy black and white men and women aged between 18 and 30, and they've tracked their, what we call their cardiopulmonary fitness, their heart and lung fitness, periodically over a 20-year period, and they've been doing that through a very specific treadmill test. So it's called a graded treadmill test, where it becomes increasingly more difficult, so they increase the intensity, and it all the way through the measuring and sampling the oxygen and the carbon dioxide that you're expiring. So they were able to do some very specific tests about, you know, when we talked about the oxygen uptake and the measures of cardiopulmonary fitness, they can track that. They also did pulmonary function tests. So that spirometry we mentioned before, so the forced expiratory volume, that how much you can expire in that 1 second, and that forced vital capacity, that extended sort of breathalyzer where you're really forcing and maintaining it to see how much air you can expire. So they've been doing that over the 20-year period, and they've done all these adjustments for age and smoking and body mass and all those sorts of things. And what they found was that those that were in the top level of that baseline fitness had the least annual decline in lung function, and those that had the greatest decline in fitness had the greatest decline in those measures of lung function, so the FEV and the FVC over that 20-year period. So if you're the other thing was, I think, which is very important, if you were able to sustain your level of fitness or you could improve your fitness, then you had the least decline in pulmonary function over that 20-year period. And I think that's important because it indicates that fitness is vital, not just at one point, but that sustained level of fitness. So we're talking about getting fit and staying fit. It's good to maintain, better, easier sort of to maintain a particular level of fitness than to go from a low base and then trying to get up to work your way up, but it's still possible. But I think it's saying that even if you're starting later, you can still get an improvement in your lung function with exercise. So some very important things. It's what was called an observational study. So you can't say there's a cause and effect with these sorts of studies, but you can track a large population over time, record their level of fitness, record their lung function over that period, and it's quite nice to be able to track fitness level with lung function. It's very clear that the fitter you are, the better your lung function will be over a sustained period. So I think a very good message about the importance of fitness to lung health.
Okay. This is something that obviously we talk about every week, and that is how important it is to either maintain your fitness or improve your fitness. What about your diet? Does that have any impact on your lung health?
There are certain conditions where, with the diet, you know, there may be triggers for certain lung conditions or respiratory tract diseases and so on. In terms of diet, it's more about, I think, maintaining a healthy body weight, because one of the aspects of laboured breathing or lung function is that if you're overweight and obese, then that's clearly going to be a factor which is going to impact upon your lung function. So it's making the ability of those muscles to perform, so the diaphragm, the accessory muscles, the neck muscles become important as the breathing becomes more difficult as well, so people experience fatigue in those other muscles. And that's why when we're talking about interventions for lung health, about fitness for lung health, it's not just about the usual things I would talk about. So I would say about aerobic fitness, then we need to work on aerobic, you know, activity. So walking, of course, is my mainstay. I think that's, if we're able-bodied, we can start. Get the all clear from your doctor to do it. Yes, of course, we will always do that. But if they recommend that you can do some form of exercise, I'd start with something like walking and work your way up from that to develop your level of aerobic fitness. But it's also the other things that we talk about, you know, the strength training and other things, the endurance activities that for our other accessory muscles, that becomes very important as well. So the overall thing, aspects of fitness, it's not just about the aerobic fitness that we would imagine, it's the muscular fitness as well becomes an important aspect for lung health. So, you know, there are different interventions we can perform, but I always think about the body overall. We need to look at various aspects of overall fitness, and when it comes to our overall health, you know, the different organs will benefit accordingly.
Okay. Now, you mentioned walking. Obviously, brisk walking, that gets you breathing a little bit better. That helps your lung capacity, hopefully. But beyond that, anything that makes you huff and puff, as you like to say, that's going to help your lungs. Is that right? So whether it's running, if you're able to do that, or maybe swimming even, or possibly, you know, working out with weights.
Bike riding would be another one.
Sure. Whether it be stationary bike or actual bike.
Yeah, that's correct. So it's again, it's starting and about fitness and improving our level of fitness is making the exercise more difficult, not necessarily every time we do the exercise, but if we really talk about that concept of periodization, where we can schedule over the course of the year how we're going to increase the intensity. So it may be how fast we're walking, how long we're walking for, the rest intervals that we might have between the exercise things and so on. All those factors will hopefully lead to a greater improvement in our level of fitness, and you'd notice an improvement. The last thing I wanted to make sure is that when, you know, these lung conditions, if you've got lung diseases or other things, they're very serious, and I don't want to be flippant about when I say, oh, just go out and do. It's not about just saying those sorts of things. Even if you have a lung condition, it is possible that there are certain exercises that may be suitable. You need to always consult with your doctor or specialist. They're the ones for you. It's just like a personalised program. Which exercises you can do, which exercises you should avoid, how you should approach it. There'll be an action plan for those that have asthma or those that have lung conditions. They know that if their breathing becomes laboured under certain conditions, they can have an action plan to try and mitigate those concerns. But it's approaching this as sensibly as possible. Common sense always prevails with our conversations, Rod. When we're advocating health and fitness, it's not about saying you need to do this, that and the other. Some people can and some people won't be able to do it. It's just making sure we can see what we can, what we can't do, and getting out active. And what this research is showing just recently is that fitness matters when it comes to lung health, and the fitter we are, the more we can sustain lung function for as long as possible to enjoy a better quality of life.
Indeed. Because, you know, I've lived through a situation where members of my family have had to have oxygen, and it really limits how you get around. It also can be very expensive, and you are trying to avoid that if possible.
Yeah, this is, if we can go into that concept of prevention, better than an intervention. I think then we can invest in our health as best we can and take these matters seriously. Because, as you say, if we lose what we take for granted, like something as simple as breathing, it impacts upon the quality and, of course, the duration of our life as well.
All right. Gordon, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Rod.
Gordon Lynch, Health and Fitness.